Hi, this is David. Have you thought about starting a retail business? When you think about businesses like Magic Spoon and Mattel, who sell through the roof, you probably attribute their success to great products and a strong brand. But an often overlooked secret is actually the business behind the business, the one which makes selling and buying simple. For millions of retail businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, because no checkout system is better at converting shoppers into buyers. With Shopify, you can sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout that Magic Spoon and Mattel use. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inspirational, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inspirational to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Gaining the Round Above, A Guide to Personal Efficiency by Gustavus S. Kimball, published in 1918. During a conversation with a learned and distinguished professor, the question was asked, "What would you do if you had your life to live over?" His reply was, "First, I would be a better man. Second, I would know more and study more carefully to know my own capabilities. And third, I would cultivate public speaking." Without underestimating the force of the first or third answers, the second one should be uppermost in the mind of every person who is busy making a career for themselves. It is a great day in our lives when we begin to discover our capabilities and what it is possible for us to achieve. It is often true that we have latent capacities, greater than we suspect, and which often lie dormant until some sudden awakening reveals them to us. Therefore, every person should study to know themselves and what they are best adapted for in life. You should take stock of yourself, as it were, for a knowledge of your limitations and possibilities is worth much to you. You must, in a sense, interpret and judge your own capacities from a study of the lives of other people. History is full of records of men and women who discovered somewhat their own capacity, but history has yet to record the individual who fully discovered all they might have been. Remember that every person in this world is created differently from every other, and the success which some people achieve does not appeal to all alike. The success of some means nothing to others. The interpretation of life's meaning and vocation reveals itself to you in what you enjoy, the books you read, the company you keep, to where your tastes lead you. Hence, these should not be overlooked in selecting an occupation and in deciding what your life work should be. While there are many notable examples on record of people with strong minds who have shown their natural aptitude very early in life, most of us require years of waiting to discover our bent. The first years of every person's adult life are years of education. Doors do not open to us until we are prepared to enter them. For really, we are only valuable in the best sense, to the business world, to the community about us, when we have grasped life's full meaning and have gained poise of character, power, and self-control. Every person should thus find out from their interests for what they are best adapted, what they desire to do, and then do it with the bravery and enthusiasm which belongs to the bold. A full knowledge of your gifts should reveal to you that you should not attempt the impossible, for this would only invite defeat. The cause of the failures in life, in 99 cases out of 100, is in the individual themselves. In some way or another, they got off to a bad start. The poor soul has not had the choice of their parents, or their education has been faulty, or they have fallen away in excessive partying. However, the true killing vice is laziness. The young person may have worked hard at college, to a degree, but those carefree university years ultimately may have been their ruin. Some bad habit may have fixed itself, making them ill-prepared for the sharp competitions of life and the professional workplace. There is no greater test of a person's strength than to make them mark time in the stand-and-wait years of an early career. To an individual with great ambitions and high hopes, the situation sometimes seems perplexing. Every avenue seems clogged with people who have greater experience and social advantages. But ultimately, that should discourage no one. It has been told of the great Daniel Webster that when a young lawyer suggested to him that the law profession was overcrowded, he replied, "Young man, there is always room at the top." Remember that. There is always room enough where excellence lives. Occasionally, a woman or man of superlative merit is neglected, but it is usually because they lack the most essential gift: the knowledge of how to use their gifts, or the ability to discover their latent capacities. In order to succeed, we must become imbued with our possibilities, with a faith in the thing we wish to accomplish, and an enthusiasm for it. If we cannot look upon the vocation we have chosen for ourselves as a great unfolding, enlarging, cultivating, educating, elevating process, the results of which can come in no other possible way, we have made a very poor guess at life's riddle. How does the individual conquer life under its most forbidding aspects? By accepting life's challenge in the spirit of the hero, and availing themselves of the stimulus that is born of overcoming. Let no person say that the conditions of life are too hard to allow them to achieve what they would like to achieve. To the valiant soul, the greatness of an obstacle is only a measure of the greatness of the achievement that is possible through overcoming it. But before we go about achieving great goals, we should ask ourselves, what actually is success in life? I have read one writer who says, "Success consists in the proper and harmonious development of those faculties which God has given us." If we are to accept this definition as true, success must come to us through the education, the training, the discipline, and the self-command, which all go to make up who we are. The woman or man who does not sow shall not reap, but the person who makes the most of themselves and their opportunities will be successful, though they may not amass a fortune, become learned, or achieve notable distinction. A more modern definition says that the ideal life, the life of success, is the well-rounded life with broad views, broad culture, broad sympathies, and broad purposes for good. True success by this measure means putting our best muscle, brain, and heart into our work, though the returns may not come tomorrow, next month, or next year. However, rest assured they will come someday, with a profound happiness that words cannot fully describe, when we at last feel the thrills that accompany the fulfillment of our desires. Upon this basis, success may come in any position in life and to everyone, and it is not to be measured by fame, wealth, or position. To ensure success, we must have the physical abilities to sustain a much-worked brain, so as to keep mind and body in good, healthy condition. To accomplish great things, we must have a strong, vigorous life force, a powerful vitality. The individual who does the most and best work is the one who successfully combines work and rest periods. Disregard for the laws of nature and the denial of needed rest and recreation must result in eventual impairment. Some of the world's best minds are daily destroyed by the reckless disregard of nature's laws. We sometimes hear it said about someone who has attained great success, "Oh, he or she has been lucky." No. Good fortune and success do not come by accident. If you inquire into the circumstances that have led to the success of any individual, you will find that legitimate means are back of that success. To succeed, we must have faith in something and enthusiasm for something. And to have faith, we must have knowledge, training, and practice. We must have something more than belief. We must have confidence, assurance, clear-sightedness, the ability to see the end from the beginning. We must have head and heart in our work. We must feel that our work is our life preserver and be willing to work in the imperative mode until every faculty and function works easily without special supervision or thought, and so work until it is easier to succeed than to fail. Then we may be reasonably sure of success. Do not trust genius to develop on its own, or you will be disappointed. Genius is the child of pluck and plod. Your success will vary with the power and extent in which you focus your energies upon your life work. Then your one talent, if it be one, will be changed from a whirl of sparks to a tongue of fire. Someone fittingly remarked once, "There are degrees of success. There is the highest rung of the ladder, and there is the one next to it. Those who cannot reach the former may reach the latter." You may become a successful retailer, though you may not be a Wanamaker. You may be eminent in the legal profession, though you may not become a Webster. You may make a superior mechanic, though not create a Porsche. Or, as the French proverb says, a person may shine in the second rank, who would be eclipsed in the first. The person who is really in earnest will not have to be advised how to succeed or what success is. By studying the failures of others, they will always find, after the survey of the great legion of the unsuccessful, that certain causes led to it. That the sting of failure lies in the knowledge that we have not done our best. If you spare your effort, or neglect your opportunities, or fail to come to the realization of the importance of the moment, your failure will be bitter indeed. But if you always do your best, That in itself is a victory so vast that a mere falling short in realizing your efforts cannot alter it. That is the only true success.